Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the show dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in today. Recently, Dr. Steve Parr had the opportunity to interview Randy Mullinax, who's the pastor at First Southern Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, and he used to work on staff here at the Georgia Baptist Convention. They were talking about making your top attended Sundays more evangelistic. Listen in as Steve talks to Randy.
I'm so glad to have today my good friend Randy Mullinax with me. Randy served as the Director of Evangelism and Discipleship for the Illinois Baptist Convention for several years. And then we were blessed to have him on staff at the Georgia Baptist Convention, who worked on our team for a while. But now he's at the First Southern Baptist Church of Tucson, Arizona. And Randy, brother, I am glad to have you back with me today. How you doing, brother?
Man, I am great. This is a joy, Steve. What a joy to visit with you.
Well, we're going to be right in your wheelhouse during this month as we talk about our next subject in evangelism. And what we'll be focusing on is intentional evangelism on your top attended Sundays. Now, let me ask you a question, Randy. Do you see that Sunday worship services are evangelistic opportunities? And if so, why is that?
Well, our worship events are one of our primary evangelistic opportunities. It's really sort of the beginning stages. We try and do pre-worship event evangelism or preparation, but our worship services are one of the key parts of our evangelism strategy.
Now, you mentioned pre-worship events. For the uninitiated, how would you describe a pre-worship event?
Our small group ministry is a big driver for our intentional evangelism, and our small group people visit, develop relationships with the unchurched, and one of the key aspects is inviting them to the large group worship event and sitting with them in that worship service. So we don't just expect people to show up. We are intentional about going out, visiting with people, developing relationships, and inviting and then being with them in that worship event.
Well, let me ask you, how do you distinguish between the need to feed the flock as we preach God's word and opportunities for evangelism? How do you distinguish those two in your Sunday morning worship?
That's a good question. And we try and preach through passages of Scripture or sometimes books, but in every worship event, we make sure that the gospel message is presented. And this does two things. Number one, it, of course, presents the gospel to the lost, the unchurched who are attending. But also, hearing it regularly helps our church family become accustomed and comfortable and knowledgeable about sharing the gospel themselves. I've had people tell me that the way I presented the gospel in the sermon is the same way they presented the gospel when God opened the door of opportunity during the week for them. So we combine those two. They are inseparable for us. We do not have a worship event. I don't care if we're preaching on men, godly men. It's going to have the gospel message in it.
Well, I think you've already addressed it, but just to clarify, you do not see any contradiction between the need to preach to the congregation and at the same time to be inviting guests and also declaring the gospel, that we can actually accomplish both as we go through our Sunday morning worship experiences about 52 times a year. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really, you know, Steve, it's not so much a challenge. It's really adds to the worship service so very, very much. It's easy to blend that together because Colossians says, as you receive the Lord, therefore walk so in him. Well, we're introducing people on how to receive the Lord, but I'm also teaching congregation how to walk in the same way that they received him.
Let me ask you, I know in Arizona in the winter it gets down to a chilly 93 degrees or so, I believe, doesn't it? And you know how it is here in Georgia. You lived here for a while. Do you see any flows to the year in terms of attendance patterns in your congregation as far as the worship attendance?
Yeah, yes and no. Both answers. Arizona, Tucson, Arizona particularly, is such a different animal than, say, Georgia, Bible Belt states. For instance, at Easter time, In Georgia, Illinois, in the South, we see a larger spike in attendance on Easter or Christmas, or the third, we understand from Lifeway this week, is Mother's Day. In Tucson, Arizona, in the Southwest by and large, you will not see a large spike in attendance. You'll see some, but you won't see the normal large spike that we see in the South and in the Midwest.
Randy, when we talk next week, let's talk about some of those Sundays. And you mentioned that Lifeway research, and we'll mention that and okay. Share with the folks how they can do a good job of making their Sunday morning services more intensely evangelistic.
You bet.
You've been listening to Steve Parr interview Randy Mullinax, pastor at First Southern Baptist Church, Tucson, Arizona. After the break, Steve, Mark Merritt, and I will come back and we'll continue to talk about how to make your top attended Sundays more evangelistic here on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life
I depended on my money and success. I had it all, but I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and I'm joined today in studio by my colleagues, Steve Parr, who's the Vice President of Sunday School and Evangelism, and the newly Dr. Mark Merritt, who's with us in Evangelism Ministries. Gentlemen, we just heard, Steve, we heard you interview Randy Mullinax, and you were talking about making your top attended Sundays more evangelistic. When we're talking about this, we're not saying that every Sunday morning needs to be an evangelistic event, are we?
That's correct. And as we move forward, we'll talk about how many Sundays you should focus on with the intent of making them purposefully evangelistic. But what we're trying to see here is what are those 3, 4, 5 Sundays, whatever, when you know the attendance is going to be higher if you don't do anything, but how can you tap in and take advantage of that higher attendance to get even more people there and then to share the gospel knowing when you have a higher attendance? Guess what? There's more unchurched and lost people there.
And Mark, just because it's not an evangelistic event doesn't mean there should not be elements of an evangelistic event present on Sunday morning, does it?
Oh, absolutely. And we want to begin with prayer. Always want, just like you're doing an event, you want to pray and expect God to be moving on that Sunday. We also want to equip our church members to know how to be good inviters, to be good welcomers when our guests come in, and how to keep the focus on evangelism and not necessarily on the events of the day.
No, we all agree that the majority of people in the majority of our church services are believers. We have to be cognizant that every Sunday there are unbelievers there as well, and they can't be ignored on a Sunday morning.
And not only are they there, but there are, again, certain Sundays a year, seasonally, where more unchurched guests show up. And we need to be prepared for that. And you can imagine if you do just isolate a few Sundays a year, let's just take one for example, and you really do pray and invest time, and you do something over maybe 3 or 4 weeks preceding to get your members focused on who they can invite. And it's not rocket science. The more people you invite, the more guests that are present. And then you come prepared as a pastor to present one of your best and to be ready to present a sermon that shares the gospel. Certainly we should do that every week, but with in mind that we have more unchurched people in front of us, giving good invitation, giving good follow-up, then we can take advantage of those top attended Sundays throughout the year.
Well, and one of the things you mentioned the word there, Steve, and we all know it, but sometimes we're not necessarily aware of it, that there is this seasonal flow here in Georgia, especially for attendance patterns.
That's a fact. And Randy mentioned it was as distinct where he lives there in Arizona. But here in the South, and I think it'd be true in other areas of the country where the weather tends to change. Elmer Towns talks about the law of the two-hump camel, and I'll go through it very quickly. It starts in August when school starts back. You don't have to do anything for attendance to go up. Everybody's home from vacation. Mm-hmm. New classes are starting in Sunday school and Bible study. And then notice in September and October, but you'll notice it tends to dip in November because there's Thanksgiving weekend. People are traveling to grandma's. And so even if you have three good Sundays, attendance goes down. Then you add December, you have two holiday Sundays. Mm. So you may have two good Sundays, but the average is pulled down by people traveling. January, you come back, everybody's back in school, everybody's back in town. It goes back up. Mm. February, March, then guess what? Spring break comes around for most schools. Even if you have a couple of good Sundays, the attendance drops a little bit. May with a holiday weekend, Memorial Day, June and July vacation. So you'll notice there's kind of that law of the two-hook camel, two ebbs and flows to the season. And we need to be aware of when those peaks are in terms of getting ready to ramp up the invitations and the opportunity to share the gospel with lost people, even during our worship opportunities.
And Joel, another thing, I sort of alluded to it in my statement a moment ago. It's easy on Mother's Day or on Easter or some of these other high-attended Sundays to just make the day all about the holiday, to make the Sunday all about mothers or Easter all about family. We have to intentionally make the service evangelistic. Those people that are coming there don't necessarily have evangelism on their mind. They have lunch on their mind and celebrating mom or whatever. And so not only does the pastor, but the church, the music, the entire service needs to be built around. We want people that come into the service today not only to celebrate Easter and mom, but more than that, we want them to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, to be presented the gospel, and to have an opportunity to respond to the claims of Christ.
And to segue off what both of you are talking about, based on what you just said, it's important for a church to track attendance, not just for the seasonal flows, but for the holidays, for everything. It's important to know every church is going to vary slightly, even though the two hump thing is true, in the South especially. But as a pastor, I want to know kind of a few more specifics by tracking my own attendance.
Absolutely. And a lot of times we take grief for counting people so often in the Southern Baptist circles, but it's important that we understand our congregation. We understand the ebb and flow of the year. We know what to expect on certain Sundays so that we know how to receive the people that are coming in, and we know how to adequately serve those that are attending our service that day.
I think it's a simple resolution too, Joel. You simply have an usher in the back, just do a head count. It doesn't have to be exact, but get in the ballpark and go back. If you have a preschool, nursery, count those, make a record of it. And then after the course of a year, you'll begin to identify the patterns and know what your top attended Sundays are and take advantage of those. But you've got to have the data in front of you. So I like what you said, Mark. It's not just a matter of we're trying to count people, but we need the information to help us to plan better so we can share the gospel with more people.
Right. And the truth is you can't go back and count. I'd rather have the information and then not use it than not have it and need it. Right. So one of the things we discovered when we counted was our youth attendance was flip-flop from our church attendance. Spring was higher Sunday school, but our Wednesday night youth was higher in the fall. Once we started counting that let us make decisions and do different plans and strategies and campaigns for the youth for a different time. So
one more reason to count, you know, Mother's Day may be high for one church but low for another. If you have an older congregation, you've got a lot of guests present coming to see mom. If you've got a younger congregation, they're all going away to see mom. So it's not going to be the same for every church. That's why you need to count.
That's right. Well, to find out more about evangelism, be sure and visit our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week equipping site, evangelismga.com. On there, you'll find a host of articles, resources, videos. Now our audio is up. These shows are there as well. So you can just find out a host of things, how to sign up for our webinars, evangelismga.com. Until next time, thank you for listening in to Network.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.